It's time for Harley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager for the Prince George Cougars, and they have just passed the midway point of the season. And as we sort of look back before we look ahead, are you satisfied with where the team is at, or were you expecting maybe a little bit more?
No, we've talked about that before. What we're expecting is our team to improve, and I think that's happened throughout the lineup. I think we've improved defensively. I think individually we've had a lot of improvement within our lineup and defense and in forward and in our whole team. So where we're sitting in the standings is decent. Do we want to be better? Absolutely. But the biggest thing is improvement.
Just about every WHL team has had to deal with rosters and lineups that are not at full strength. Obviously, COVID has played a role in that. The Cougars have been no exception. How have you had to make adjustments because of playing shorthanded?
Well, you're constantly making adjustments to, hockey's about chemistry and when you get on a roll trying to keep things together and you start feeling good about yourself and like you said, we're no different than any other team that's had to deal with this. So we're constantly making adjustments, within our lineup, guys playing different positions, guys playing way too much hockey, especially this last weekend when we're so down to 14 players that are playing in and out of positions, different special teams, different things. So it's constant movement and it's constant coaching.
You decided not to make a move at the WHL trading deadline. Were you close to a deal? Was it something you wanted to do? Did you want to be a buyer? Did you want to be a seller? How was your approach and why the decision not to do anything?
Well, our decision was made, it had nothing to do with the deadline at all. We're always looking to improve our team as we did, in the Gauthier deal, and we did do the Gronick deal that was a pretty big deal. So we had two pretty big deals going into it, and it was all about where people fit and for the future. Are we going to be able to, for now and the future, I should say that. And I thought we really did that with the Bronberg deal and with the Gronick deal. And yeah, we were looking to add, to get a little bit older up front. But the player had to be a player that would fit in with this group, not just now, but next year.
All right, let's talk about Taylor Gauthier, because in the last podcast, we discussed there was a possibility, which was going back last month before the deal. You had always said there was a distinct possibility he would be moved, but he wasn't going to go away for nothing, and it had to be a good situation for him and for the Cougars. So he's won his first five games in Portland. He's got the best save percentage in the league, and Tyler Brennan and Ty Young are looking pretty good in your net. So I imagine you're very happy for Taylor Gauthier, and you also realize the PG Cougars had to move forward.
Yeah, it was a deal that that we had to make, but you want to make a good deal for your organization. So that was the hard part. When there's not a big market for an overage goalie, even if his name is Taylor Gauthier, who I have a lot of respect for, and I think he's one or the best goalie in the league. So that was very hard. But to put him in a position and ourselves in a position to get better, and give our young goalies the crease, which is kind of a no-brainer with the type of goalies that Brennan and Young are, and just move forward with our young group.
So you had been with Taylor since you've been in PG. How did it come about? I'm just sort of curious how you let him know, Did he know well in advance, hey, I'm working on something with Portland, hang in there? Did you just call him one morning and say, hey, you're traded? Give us a little bit of a buildup, and then tell us what happened on the day that you informed him, his reaction, and how it all came down.
Well, no, me and Taylor have a real good relationship. He's a smart guy. Three goaltending, at the start of the year when we had the three guys here, we were lucky enough to get, Young to a spot where he could get a lot of starts, which, really helped him. But, Taylor's a smart guy. We didn't, talk about where he's going to go or if he's going to get traded. I just told him to come to practice and play like normal every day. And Taylor's a real pro that way. How he got told was just the world that we're living in right now. We came back after Christmas. The deal was done already over the Christmas break. I wanted to talk to him face-to-face. He come in and tested, and he had COVID. So I had to do it over the phone, which was, you didn't want to do, but that's just the situation in this crazy world, which I keep saying. And it worked out very well. He was happy. He was respectful. He knew something was on the horizon. I really, personally, for our organization, didn't want it to go to the trade deadline, because then you'd really get squeezed. And, by the way, the trade deadline did happen. It really looked like that would have happened also.
You had mentioned before there were not a lot of trade partners, and what I did, and I'm sure some other Cougar fans did, is I started looking at what possible teams he could go to, and there weren't a lot. Maybe you could make a case for Kelowna, but I knew there would be no way in the world Prince George would deal with the Kelowna. There was nobody else realistically in the BC division. The top teams in the East seemed to have their goaltending set. Then I looked at the U.S. division, and it really came, I thought, well, possibly Seattle, but they may not want a goaltender. And really, Portland kept sticking out as I looked more and more at this. I had this been a long process with them, and were there other serious contenders?
Well, I had talked to Portland, right in training camp, basically. So we had, and they weren't in a position to do anything. They didn't know what type of team they were going to have, even with Jarvis in the NHL, right? You just don't know how good you're going to be. Then they had their own overage situation, which everybody does have. And, there was conversations with a couple teams, but nothing serious. And because the market just wasn't there at all. There was a lot of, Kelowna went and got Boyko. They got really good overage players. So you have to get rid of one to bring one in. And so there wasn't a lot of fits anywhere. And we were lucky enough, and Taylor was lucky enough. And I think nothing better than making a trade where it works out for both teams and both players.
So you are about to face Taylor Gauthier. The U.S. road trip starts in Portland. Late in February, there's a weekend where Taylor comes back to a CN Center. For you, will those be just another game? And I imagine it is. For Tyler Brennan, put it this way, it wouldn't be because of their rivalry, their competitiveness. For Taylor Gauthier, I can't see it being another game. But how do you sort of look at it? Ordinarily, when Prince George plays Portland, it is another game on the schedule. Is that just the way you look at it now?
Well, it is another game, but it's Taylor Gauthier that's probably going to be in it. I don't know if he's going to start or not start, but I'm sure he'll play one of the games or maybe all of them against us. He's a real good goaltender. So, it's always special to, play against your own old teammates. The biggest thing about playing against your old teammates or a forward or a D, you usually do pretty good against your old team. For some reason, if it's a forward, they usually score a goal against their old team, or it doesn't matter, but it's usually a special game where the player usually does pretty good, which scares me with Gauthier.
Yeah. So let me ask you this further, and I know you're not in the playoffs now, but and there's a lot that can happen in the season and all of that, sitting, sixth in the West and a third in the BC division. But I look at the teams behind you, and And I'm looking realistically. I can't see like a Tri-City or Spokane catch you, only because one of the reasons is they have to play so many games in the U.S. division against Gauthier and against Seattle and against, you know, Everett. So I'm basically conceding, and I think we should, now from a coaching point, you probably won't, that you're in the playoffs this year. Having said that, would you want to face Gauthier in the first round?
You know, all these questions. I don't even look at that we're in the playoffs right now or speculate like that, because it's very dangerous. It's right now, you know, especially the way everything is, it's day by day. I come to the rink every morning going, okay, what kind of day are we going to have today? It's a tough division over there. You never know what can happen. Teams get better. Our division is very tough. You know, we look at the U.S. division, our division is very tough also. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. And, you know, would we want to play Taylor Gauthier in the playoffs? I think Taylor Gauthier is good enough to win the playoff series by himself.
How do you explain the success against Victoria? And when you're 7-0 against one team, there has to be something to it. And I understand and realize Victoria has been shorthanded. I'm not even sure if you have faced their full lineup, but you know, you have a necessary. You've been missing some players too. There's always something about certain matchups that favor one team, and I look at Victoria and I'm surprised that if they take those games that they haven't played Prince George, they've actually got about a winning record or a 500 record against everybody else. But you have their number, and the games for the most part are not down to the wire. Now, I know the last time you had two empty net goals, but prior to that, the first six, there wasn't a lot of drama. How do you explain the Cougars 7-0 against Victoria?
You know what? You really can't explain it. I can sit and talk and make up a bunch of things, but there's really no explanation for it. It's very hard to win seven games in a row against anybody. It really doesn't matter. You know, if you look back in some history, it was kind of the other way. We've had really good games against them, and they were coming out on top. So, you know, you get on rolls, you get certain matchups that you feel good about it. Maybe the players feel a little bit better, have a little bit more confidence. Like, there's a lot of ways that you can go. But I'm not sure exactly what it is right now, but I'm sure enjoying it.
Yeah, I bet. When you were in the NHL, was there a team that you always beat? And if so, which team were you with at the time? And was there a team you almost always lost to?
It changed every year. And there was different tendencies. So there's a lot of examples, but it just didn't happen year after year. You know, when you get into the year and then you win that first game against the team, sometimes it just kind of snowballs. But so there's a lot of different, every year is so different. And every year you find that you might be way better than the team that they just keep beating you also. Like sometimes the matchups don't make sense. Like I look in our league, like I look at Tri-Cities in Portland, and Tri-Cities really seems to play Portland really well for whatever reason.
Yeah, but Portland's got Gauthier now, so that'll change.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you're listening to CatScan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. And Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the PG Cougars. How do you explain Cohen Zimmer? I mean, he just turned 17. He has a late birthday. And I wouldn't say he was off to a slow start, but he wasn't maybe as noticeable as perhaps we thought he might be. And then all of a sudden, the six-point game against Vancouver in mid-December, and on it went, like averaging 2 points per game over an 11-game stretch. Seven consecutive games he scored at home. I mean, it was, you know, during your four-game win streak, he had seven goals in that span and three consecutive, you know, multi-goal games. How do you explain where he was and how he's taken off?
Well, it's when you break down the game like I do, And, you know, I go through a whole process of different scoring chances and where they come from, a plus-minus system. And Cohen Zimmer was always leading our team in scoring chances. Like, always. Like, you know, like, and that's... And it was happening and happening, and he'd miss chances and miss chances. And what Cohen's done is he's actually he's playing way better away from the puck, which is translating into more scoring chances than he was even getting. And now he's feeling the confidence. He's him and Riley Height have real good chemistry, and when Armstrong's there, that's a real good line to handle. And now it's just kind of snowballed where he's feeling good about himself. He's playing away from the puck a lot better, and it's getting points and goals and helping our team win.
So you always keep Height and Zimmer together, unless you're down to eight forwards, but that's not going to happen again. But that third member of the line has changed. You mentioned Armstrong, and you like to have him there, but you've used McAdams and you've used some other guys. If you are at full strength, is Armstrong the guy, or are you still looking for that third member of the line?
Well, we're always looking, but it would be nice to have consistently. I've played Johnny Hooker there. He's played there probably more than Armstrong has this year, and that's Johnny Hooker's probably played with Height more than even Zimmer has. And when we get everybody healthy, it'd be nice to have Armstrong there. But Army does so many other things for our team also, you know, with killing penalties, and he's a real good matchup guy, and he's a lot of energy. So he does a lot for our team. But in a perfect world, that's where I'd like to play Armstrong.
I want to talk about the fact of trades that we sort of can forget about, and they come back, and you realize that's how you build a hockey team. What I'm referring to is the fact that it was, you know, not that long ago, the PG Cougars had the number 3 and 4 overall selections in the Bantam draft. And the reason for that was because of prior trades where they were sellers, they sort of gave up on the season, but they had to look at the long-term future. In that draft, obviously you're very aware, you selected Delheniak 3 and Zimmer 4. Now, I don't know if you would have only had one pick, how you would have done that. But this is an example. You've got a high-end defenseman in Delheniak. You've got a high-end forward in Zimmer. And there is no way you get both of those unless you have those first picks from prior deals.
Yeah. No, you would never get them. I thought they I've said this many times is – before I got here, they did a really good job of recouping a bunch of draft picks. And I think, you know, when you look, if they wouldn't have done that, you know, you really don't know the future. But, you know, the future is in the draft and where and how we're building right now. But if you don't have draft picks, you don't have those picks and you can't build your hockey team.
Yeah. But I just wanted to use that as an example because – you know, you have high-end players there, and that's why those first-round picks are so valuable. Yet some teams, and even this year at the deadline, were more than happy to give them away in order to upgrade this year. And, for example, you know, Vancouver went the route of they were able to land 3 first-round picks, although they may not be high picks. Now, when you're as the general manager, you've sort of stated that I think you treat those first-round picks as gold and are not prepared, even if you become a very elite team, to trade those picks, correct?
Well, I do think like that, absolutely, because they are gold. And if you don't have first-round draft picks, it's a tough go. And we've done a real good job of keeping our picks and stocking our cover. Like, our covers are really full. We do have the opportunity when we're real good and going for it, which I hope happens pretty soon, that we'll be able to make some of these big deals. Would we trade a first-round draft pick? Well, that all depends on our situation and where we're at and how good our team is at that time. So to speculate on it is kind of hard, but if we're real good and some of these teams I see where You know, you look at an Edmonton or something like that. These teams are real good, and you don't want to miss that window of not really going for it when you do have that opportunity. Saying that, you have to look out for your franchise also. It's my job to do both. You know, you just don't spend and not worry about the future. So it's a real balancing act.
You had an opportunity a couple of years ago where, you know, Dave Tippett asked you to go with the Edmonton Oilers as an assistant, and you decided, no, I am really happy in Prince George and, you know, being the coach and the GM. And as you look at the struggles that the Oilers have sort of gone through and everything like that and all the speculation that's going there, you must look back and just say, you know what, I'm really happy that I am in Prince George and I've got the kind of control that I want and everything like that. Do you give yourself a moment to sort of say and reflect, you know, I've made the best move I could have possibly made?
Well, I was very happy with my decision then, and I'm still happy with it. You can look at it the other way too. What if Edmonton was in first place? Because you really don't know. They were at a certain point this year, but on any hockey team, in any given year, you're going to go through ups and downs, and there's hard times and good times, and you know where we're at right now in Prince George. I really like it here. I've said that before. I like where we're at as an organization. I like where we're at with our builds. We're very comfortable, but we know there's, you know, hard times, good times ahead of us, and that's just the way it is in hockey. So when we made the decision as a family to stay here, that was our decision. I follow Edmonton big time. I talk to Dave Tippett a lot. Those struggles are hard, what they're going through right now. But this guy's a real good coach. He perseveres. They got a great staff, and they'll work their way out of it.
And, of course, I'm not going to get into the Oilers situation and everything like that, but you talk about the strength of your team, which is goaltending, and I think that's something that Edmonton would like to have, more consistent in that area. And if you are going to be strong in one area, it is to be a net. And you were when you had Goats. You've talked a little bit about the goaltending, but I have to admit that my eyebrows have been raised with Ty Young. I wasn't so sure, and now that I've seen, you know, he's getting his opportunity, he is playing really well at this level, and I know he's always going to be the backup with Brennan, or I would assume so, but he's actually playing better than a backup.
Yeah, he's like, we knew him better than everybody. And, you know, we have a full-time goaltender coach here that I think is key. And Taylor Dakers does such a good job with these goalies. Every day they're getting coaching, which a lot of teams don't have in the Western League. The NHL guys, they all have it now. But it's a luxury that we have. And it's, you know, when you look at, we've had good goaltending around here for a long time, and there's a reason for it. It's scouting, and another reason is we have Taylor Dakers here. So you do need goaltending. I've been saying it for a while. Now we got Young. We've seen what he can do, but when he went down to Junior A, I think everybody started to really see that he was a WHL goaltender. And now he's proven himself that he is.
Well, it does appear that Tyler Brennan will be a high pick because of all the North American goaltenders. Central Scouting rates him number one. Were you surprised that he got that number one label? How was your reaction? And how do you make sure that things like that just, and I know that's not his personality, but, you know, we're all human, doesn't let it go to his head kind of a thing.
Well, I think Brennan's been rated high his whole life. Like, he's one of those guys that's always been in his age group. He's always been the top guy. So this is really kind of normal for him. But once you get to the junior age in the NHL, now it starts getting real and starts getting special. Does it surprise me that he's number one? No, not at all. Like, he's a young guy with not a lot of, you know, games played yet in this league, and he's the same all the time. He's got that good demeanor. He's when he gets in the game, it looks so easy for him. So where he's rated is not surprising. I just wonder how high he can go.
Who on the Cougars has surprised you the most and improved the most? And it might be the same player. And we're always talking about, the scores, whether it's a Zimmer and Height or Sampson. You know, and these are guys that, you know, constantly get the headlines and Brennan. And maybe it is one of these guys. But who is the one guy on the Prince George Cougars that has made the most improvement the most this season in your mind? And who is maybe the biggest surprise?
Man, that's a real tough question because we got a few of them. And, when I talk about improvement, and it's just, it's percentages. I think all our young guys have really improved. And for that matter, I think, some of our older guys have improved also in how we need to play to have some success. And, when you look at a, the real young guys and stuff that haven't played. When you look at a kid like Demanski that had broken his back and didn't play the year before and, how far he's come, it's really impressive the adversity that he had went through and the improvement that he's made this year is pretty incredible from a broken back.
Yeah. Now, and I sort of get a kick out of you talking about the older guys, and I know you've got some. You really don't have any. You got 119 and 320s. I don't know if anybody else has that few.
Well, no, nobody else does, and that's why I talk about it a lot because there's a lot of people don't really understand, and I've always said it. I'm going like, what's your team? I go, we're going to be young, and when you're young like that, you need to see improvement and. They need to get the right ice time. And well, like the other night in Kamloops, we're an under 18 team. We had no 20-year-olds. We had no 19-year-olds. And we had three 18-year-olds. And all the rest were under 18 that were in the lineup. I don't know if there's ever been a team that young that's played in a WHL game.
And it's interesting because obviously I watched the 5-1 Kamloops victory, and on Friday, they really took it to you. And based on the lineup that you were going to use the next night, I think a couple of us thought, 5-1 it may get even worse than that. And yet there you were the next night, Ty Young in goal, you bring in a 15-year-old from Kelowna. And other than that, it's the same that. And yet you're up 2-1. I know you lost 3-2, but that just tells you a lot of things. You can't just make predictions.
No. It's hockey. And especially right now, making predictions right now in the climate and the world that we're living in, it's just you got to just go day by day. And hockey is a lot of planning and stuff like that. Right now, it's really tough to plan anything and build anything because there's so many obstacles that you hit every day. And that's how we talk and that's how we go about our business. And we are so privileged to be able to play, to practice every day, to jump on the bus and go to other places. We're going to the U.S. Coming up. But as hockey players and hockey people, we're doing what we love to do, so we're lucky. And we got to keep all that in perspective.
And it's funny because, Kamloops knew what kind of a lineup you were going to have in the second half of the doubleheader, but they wanted to make sure their top goaltender, Garand, was in there. They didn't want to take any chances. And in that 5-1 game, they were certainly happy to put out their power play at the end of the game, which is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that just shows that they're not – at any point going to let up on Prince George whatsoever?
No, and I look at that as a total, it's respect. They respect our hockey team. They respect our group. They respect how we play, and they don't take us for granted at all. I see that around the league. I see it with, all the other coaches that you're coaching against that, it's never an easy game when you play the Prince George Cougars, which is all respect.
All right. So, as we wrap things up, 30 some odd games to go, so you've passed the deadline and the midway point and everything like that. You, there could be some doldrums coming up for some of the players because the playoffs are still too far away and all of those kinds of things. How do you put things into perspective going forward for the last part of the season?
Well, we just go about our business the same way all the time. We don't change. We tweak things on how we're playing. We want to keep everything fresh. We want to keep everybody's mental health in the right spot, which is very hard right now. So, you know, the hockey is the easy part that, you know, everybody sees. And you know, people, there's critics everywhere on how teams play, and it's not here. It's just everywhere. But there's so much going into this year. Everyday stuff that's really hard for a lot of players, and I give our players a lot of credit on how they prepared and played this year. I think this adversity is really going to make it better for us in the future if we can keep our heads in the right spot and our hearts in the right spot and keep moving in the right direction. But it's day by day.
Has there been a time, and not necessarily in Prince George, maybe, but you've had a long, distinguished career. Has there been a time when a so-called critic has said something that has bothered you? And if so, what would be the example?
No, because it's all the same stuff all the time. And it doesn't matter where you're at. And it turns into wins and losses. But there's reasons why you win, and there's reasons why you – and where we're at in our program. And, you know, that's where I'm very comfortable. I'm very confident where we're at in our organization, very comfortable with the ownership group, where our plan is. So that's what makes me comfortable, because I think we think the plan is the right plan, and we got to be patient with it. So critics, you know, really don't matter. You don't listen to all that stuff, because if you did, then you'd start doing stuff different, and you got to be confident in what you're doing and what direction you're going.
They will leave you with this. Is coaching the second best job in hockey and being a GM third best? Do I have that reversed? We know that playing is obviously number one, but would you look at those two jobs as two and three?
I've never really thought about it like that, because I kind of lump them all in together. And with how I coach is kind of how I play it. It's all about the team. How I manage is how I manage, and you probably have to talk to our scouts like that. I let people do their jobs. I'm a teammate, with our scouts. I'm a teammate with our coaches, and I'm a teammate with our players. So, you know, putting it 1, 2, 3, or playing was the best. That's for sure. That's a high number one. But coaching and GM is all the same.
I appreciate your time. We'll do this again, and all the best on the road trip and the rest of the season. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Hartley.
You bet. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars, and CAT Scan, been brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.